You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right, it's another edition of Royce Unchained. Patrick Royce in Fort Myers. This is the voice of Manny Hill that you're hearing, not Judd Zolgad, because Judd, Patrick, I believe, is in New York still, and he's coming back, I think. I don't know. I don't know what Judd's going to be doing, but he went to New York over the weekend.
And yes, is he going to get home? I hope he's not trying to land in Rochester from some of the photos I've seen. Yeah, my goodness. Yeah. This is an old-time snowstorm, and we didn't get it, right, in the Twin Cities, but it got buried in the southwestern and southern Minnesota.
We got a little bit of snow over the weekend, but it wasn't snownami that I think a lot of people were anticipating. But it is cold as hell today, Patrick, up here right now. It is right around zero right now.
What's the date? The 24th?
The 25th.
The 25th. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. 31 days to opening day, boys. Start shoveling.
Start shoveling.
What? I tell St. Peter, who's down here today, I said, why don't you just call them off now? Reschedule them for later. You remember when last year they got snowed out of 3 White Sox games in a row? Blow off the whole series and have a reopener some other time. Man alive.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
But the bats are looking pretty good so far early.
Well,
in the spring,
I'll tell you what. Buxton played his first game on Saturday night, and first ball he came up, hit a rocket to center field. Now we're talking about, they're not breaking out the 18 pitchers here. But what was interesting is the second time they threw him a changeup on 3-2, and it was just a rope out to a left field. But it was a committed swing. There was none of that three-piece, do I want to swing at this or not? And he went after it and hit it hard. And he is visibly a little thicker in the shoulders and the arms.
Okay.
He's saying 20. I don't believe it's 20, but if it's 12 or 13, it's muscle. And
he's bulked up a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't think it's to hit as much as to just be stronger, because he's – prone to injuries and everything.
Yeah. If he goes crashing into the center field wall,
maybe the
wall
will
about
move.
Him getting injured
maybe
anymore,
the wall
right?
will move instead of him. But he looks good, and he just looks. We thought they were idiots not calling him up last year, and we really knew they were idiots when they started trying to explain it because it didn't make any sense. Levine was not speaking English, but maybe they did. Irritate him to the point he's, saying, I'll show you bleepers. But he hit those two balls yesterday. I said, sign him to that extension while you still can. And I think Sano's, I haven't heard officially yet, but I thought Sano's boot might be coming off today. He looks good physically, but we haven't seen him play yet because of the cut he suffered in the celebration down there when they won the championship. And Kepler started out really look good.
Yeah, two bombs yesterday, right?
Two home runs right off the bat. Now the wind was howling, but he hit them both good, and then he got a hit the third time. I think he's going to end up being our leadoff hitter.
Really?
They don't want to – well, they need somebody to draw a walk,
Yeah.
They don't have a leadoff guy. Polanco they're looking at. It's either Polanco or Kepler, and trouble is Polanco's is not a real on-base guy. He could run, he can run and he could do it, but it's obvious Rocco doesn't really tell you anything real, he's a nice guy, he answers questions, but he's not going to say, we're looking at Kepler as our leadoff guy because we don't have any on-base guys on this whole bleeping team,
Do you think
he's not going to say that?
Do you think that this is going to be something that they toy around with? You know, with just a bunch of different lineups, or we're just going to see a bunch of like 12 different lineup combinations in the first month or so of this thing.
You're going to. I don't know once the season started. No, I think this is modern analytics gone wild, where the lineup is going to be based on who you're playing that night. Okay. You're not going to have the guy. You know, they're going to. You know, this we have given ourselves. The Fighting Twins have given themselves completely to baseball as a science, not an art, philosophy, and like so many teams have. And, I think there's – but what they are doing is looking for an effective leadoff hitter, because there's nobody that comes out and screams at you, bat this guy first. So if Kepler's getting on base and he's getting pitches to hit and he's looks confident, he could stay there, because no matter what they're doing elsewhere in the lineup, you need somebody at the top to start the game, and you need somebody who's got a chance to get on base. I mean, let's face it, Maurer and Grossman were their two best on base guys, and they're both gone, and all they've added is home runs, you know, Crone, and now they got Marwin Gonzalez, you know, is a hell of a pickup for him, but he's not an on-base guy either. He's a, you know, he doesn't get a lot of walks. But is there anything more valuable, Manny, in modern baseball when you got three-man and four-man benches than having a guy who can play left, center, right, first, second, third, and short?
We did write that down for Mackey and Judd with Rami on Friday with no Phil and no Judd. One of my write that downs was that Marwin Gonzalez will play at least six different positions for the Twins in 2019. I mean, the fact that you can just put him anywhere is it's a hell of a pickup.
It's unlikely that he'll play center field, because if he's playing, you know, let's say, if he's in a lineup and Buxton's not, they'll just put Rosario or Kepler in center field because they like both of them better as outfielders. But he could also, if you're moving guys around, you know, if you play 18 innings and it lasts 7 hours and 20 minutes, like the Red Sox did last year with the Dodgers, then he might end up there. But it'll be left, right, and all four infield positions, probably second, short, and third. But he's going to get 600 at-bats. He's going to start 100. If he stays healthy, and there's no reason to think he won't, he's going to start 140. He's an everyday player. It's just, who is he playing for? You know. So,
what do you think of the – how's the rotation look in your mind? What are you thinking of how good this rotation is going to be?
You know, Berríos, I like. Gibson is good. You know, Gibson figured it out, and he's not great, but – I think a lot of it, we've now fixed Odorizzi. I don't know exactly know what it is, but they've convinced themselves that he's doing some things. But I really think a lot of it relies on him, don't you?
If he Odorizzi?
If he's as substandard 4 2/3 as he was last year, then they're in trouble. I think we're going to have our share of openers. I think we might have our share of openers here this year. So now, Martin,
much to your chagrin.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't told Rocco yet that I boycott games when the openers are when they're using an opener. I haven't told him. He hasn't figured me out yet. By the way,
are you prepared to do that though? Are you prepared to boycott 50 some games if they use an opener 50 some times this year, a third
I'm
of their
saying
games?
Saying this firmly now, I could waver at any moment, just like on every other thing I do. But yes, I could. But the Martin Perez is the interesting case here, because he's this year's Anibal Sanchez. You know, the analytics guys said sign Anibal. Everybody said, "What's wrong with Falby and Levine signing Anibal last year?" Well, the analytics guys, the spin rate guys, the, you know, that they got over there, this Josh, whatever the hell his name is, Kulk, or what are they, that the pitching guru genius that they hired from Tampa before last season, he wanted Anibal. And you know, they wish they'd kept him instead of brought. Yeah. You know, they got rid of him when they brought in Lance
season.
Lynn. He was great. Lance
was
Lynn stunk. And, you know, he was – so they got rid of him when they brought in Lance Lynn. And now, this year, their guy is Martin Perez. They think that if they eliminate this pitch and emphasize that pitch and give him a different – they got something now they call the one-finger fastball. You know, you got the split finger and you got, I mean, you got the two, you know, the two-seamer and the four-seamer with the two fingers. They got a one-fingered fastball now that they get a little more dip on it. And
okay.
They had a bunch of pitchers throwing that. And I don't know if that's one of them he's going to use or something like this, but... You gotta walk by rapidly these offices where the analytics guys are meeting because the brain power in there could kill you at any moment. There's so much there's so much electricity coming out. It's
is it one of those situations where you just walk by them and you instantly become smarter? Or?
Oh, they don't. They ignore you. You know, they ignore those. They don't want any sports writers to ask them any questions because they got secrets. I mean, this. Josh Kulk is, I think it's Kulk, I guess. He's like, he'll walk with his head down. You could collide with him, and he wouldn't pay any attention to anybody. They're keeping secrets that they don't want other people to know. Okay, did I tell you guys about this last week? I think I might have told Josh. And I haven't done the full, I haven't really talked to any about it. But the cameras they have now that they are mounting...
Okay.
At Target Field, that show the hitter and the pitcher, and it takes all the bones, and it takes all the fat and muscle off the body, the cameras, and all you see is the skeleton.
Really?
And they're looking at the skeleton movements, and I was thinking it was to correct the movements. Okay. To correct that this guy isn't doing this.
To sort of fix things mechanically,
yeah,
so to speak?
It is to some degree, but more than that, they're looking for a flaw that cannot be corrected, that will not be corrected. Okay, that the guy does not load up properly at the plate or for his swing or something. And it's also... they're taking this information, what they see, and then relating it to injuries, too. So this is something like 4 years from now, they will be able to tell themselves, well, he's got that same skeletal problem that Bill did 2 years ago when he blew out some. It's about injury prevention, too, from what I understand, so.
Wow, is this like a league wide? Is this
no? There's just... like three machines. The cheap Polads bought up one of these machines. It's about $2 million, I guess. There's only like two others in baseball, I guess.
Wow,
it's some highfalutin thing, like. But I don't know. I've always said golf and baseball are alike because if you don't have that little 4-inch move with your hands.
or if you do one thing that's slightly off, then it can ruin everything.
When you make that commitment, right, to swing the golf club or to swing the baseball bat, if you don't have that 4 inches of great wrists action, great hand action, can't do anything, you know. You'll have a slow bat for your whole life, you know. So, I don't know. But it's... baseball, and I said this, I guess, last week, too, has changed more in the last 5 years. And I've been covered. This is my 45th spring training. Baseball has changed more in the last 5 years than it did in the first 40.
Science and numbers. That's what it's become.
Oh, man. But it's – Manny, you should look at some of these rosters of the sports front office departments, then the titles they come up with. Well, we now have, you know, with the Tampa Bay Rays, we got 28-year-old Princeton mathematics graduate Jonathan Ehrlichman as a bench coach, a 28-year-old kid who never played above T-ball. I'm not lying. He played T-ball.
And he's a bench coach.
He's in uniform now, on the bench. He brought out the lineup card here the other day, a little, you know, wispy-looking little fella. And he is called the process. You know, you're listing the coaches, the process and analytics coach. And he's on the bench next to Kevin Cash.
That's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I mean, it's. I mean, just to your point, like even 5 years ago, that was
no.
Like there was just no way that anybody would even really think about that, and they, because it was always, you know,
you had the ball guys. Yeah, Don Zimmer.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I think we should butt. You know, Zim was the first. I was telling Rocco this a couple days ago, and. There were no bench coaches in the early 90s. You know, it's like Gene Mock with Bob Boone might have been the first one. Now, Bill Russell might have done that with Lasorda, too, but
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if they ever gave him that title. But they were not common at all. And Zim is the guy that made everybody think, well, we all need a bench coach, right? Because he sat there next to Joe and told him to bunt once in a while. And
I mean, Zim was a I mean, crushed. He was as throwback a baseball guy as he got. I mean, he was out in the big brawl with the Yankees and Red Sox in the playoffs. He was out there trying to fight Pedro.
And that's what bench coaches were. They were crusty old guys who, you know, could say, hey, well, I don't know about this. We should, you know, this is the time to hit and run. This is the time to change pitchers. And that's, you know, that's gone way beyond that now.
That's unbelievable. It's incredible the way everything is just changing. Hey,
everybody's got eight coaches. Well, 70, I'd have to look up and see what the year was, but I was covering the Twins. 76, 77. Calvin had three coaches. He had Buck Rogers was the they had a bullpen catcher warming people up, but Buck Rogers was the pitching coach and the bullpen coach. Then they had Ralph Rowe coaching first and Vern Morgan coaching third and Frank Willisie, and that was it. So it had to be 76, I think. 76, they had 75 or 6. They had three coaches. They now got eight, and then they got another guy who's kind of up in the clubhouse who's almost a coach too. So they now have eight. So
unbelievable.
It is, and they are taking a lot of the fun out of the game, and they don't really. They're having fun, you know.
Yeah.
They're having fun doing all this. All these guys with the Eastern educations are having fun doing this stuff, but they're not making it fun.
Having their nerd conventions.
They're not making it fun for those of us watching the ball games. So hopefully, but there is a tendency to want to put the ball in play again anyway. There's more teams are getting turned off by the massive numbers of strikeouts.
That's why we need our guy Astudillo to make the roster.
Oh, he's on the roster. He's got to be.
He has to be.
Well, he's one of their best players. He's the other day he comes up running on third, first pitch about a foot off the plate, hits the fly ball to right field. You got to run, and then he's catching. And he did. You didn't see, that game wasn't on TV. I guess he just gunned a guy down. Boom.
Really?
They like him behind the plate now too. They didn't think they would, but they like him behind the plate. He does all that framing stuff, and he gets so low that the umpire gets a good look at the low pitch. But here's another thing. I think Dan Hayes was working on a piece on this, and he was talking to me about it. They thought, watching all the videotape last year, that the umpires were missing three low strikes per game for their pitchers. So they are now teaching all this these catchers this method of getting lower and giving the umpire a better view of the low strike. And, I mean, they're doing Tony Pena type stuff, trying to, get as low as they can. And they have this whole new catching program go. They got some kid over there who's like the guru of catching and trying to change everything. And my theory is they might have missed the low strikes just because they missed low pitches. You know, you call 250 pitches a game and you miss 15 of them, right?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these guys, they have their own strike zones. They're going to call things how they see fit.
I think what they were saying, though, was that this guy was consistently calling this pitch, and then three times he didn't. And
okay.
They're blaming the catcher for it. Garver apparently was horrible at it. Mm. You know, it had like this terrible rating as far as getting strikes for his pitching. But he's like gone nuts on it. He's dedicated his whole offseason and everything to becoming better at a pitch framer. But
so do you think Willie will get a fair amount of games behind the plate then?
I don't know how they'll use him. He's playing third base today, though.
Okay.
He's going to follow Marwin around the field. Marwin's going to play every, you know. They like him a lot. They really do. I mean, it's become more than a comedy act. They like him a whole bunch because he can, you know, puts the ball in play. He can play anywhere, and he's not bad behind the plate. And, as we said, with a three-man band, you know damn well that they're going to say they're going to start with 12 pitchers, but by
they'll have 13
April
at some 15th, point.
They'll have 13. Yeah, and although I heard they might start the season this year with 11 because with the schedule so loosey-goosey at the top, so many
probably
off days, that they might start it with 11. But I don't know whether to, you know, I'm too old to dive into this crap, you know, but it is fascinating that what's going on, and they're all, you know, it's all state secrets, you know. It's pretty funny, but hey, I think they've had a fair off season, don't you? Everybody wants them to get a pitcher, but you got Marwin Gonzalez, who's the best utility guy in baseball.
I thought the Gonzalez pickup was really good. I think the Cruz pickup was really solid. Yep. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good. I don't know if they're going to win the division,
pitching.
But
depends on pitching. Yeah, I think the lineup will be okay.
Yeah, the lineup looks like it's going to be good and versatile, and you have guys that can play anywhere on the field. And you know, the rotation is a little bit of a question mark when you get past, you know, Barrios and Gibson. But, I mean, I think they have a chance to be competitive and good. And I think they're going to keep us interested well into September, at least.
I'm having a lot of fun on Twitter with the Twins. With the Twins can do no right crowd. Did you see the one? I was very proud of this one. I said, Max Kepler's 2 for 2, both home runs today. Buxton killed the ball yesterday. Sano's raring, looking in the best shape since 2015. And raring to go or something like that, that I said. Bottom line, the American League has been put on notice. And here they came. You're an idiot. You're senile. It's great.
Now, I do feel like with the third baseman, because it looks as though he physically, he's, you know, aside from the cut that he has on his heel, physically he looks, good,
right? Have
you
seen his face and stuff? I mean, he's not the...
He's not the,
you know,
big,
he can
doughy
tuck
guy.
He can tuck his shirt in now, for one thing. Yeah, he looks good. He really, I mean, I'm not lying. And his demeanor is much better. I think after that thing with the cop and, you know, that he had to buy his way out of probably down there, I don't know, somebody got to him. But he seems, I did hear he had a religious conversion, but I haven't had a chance to, but I don't know about that.
I think my only question about him, Pat, though, is because we saw last year, you know, when they sent him down to Fort Myers last year and he spent that time down there and he came up and he was, what was it, 20 pounds lighter or something like that?
Yeah, he was.
But he's still, that approach at the plate still didn't look good. And
here's
that's what
difference.
I'm looking at.
Here's the difference. People want to know how much weight he lost over the winter. Well, he might have lost 4 pounds.
Right.
But it's different, you know. That 20 pounds he lost last year, he lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that went with it, you know. This is, he's solid. He looks good. He might be 268, but that's about as good as you're going to get. If he can maintain this, they're fine. They, You know, he looks like he'd be able to move and stuff. Here's the problem. As a veteran of being on the road with baseball teams, the 2 a.m. pizza can get you, and you can gain 20, you know, the Twins have had, many guys have had that problem. You go have three toddies, and then you order room service at 2 o'clock in the morning. And
that's always tempting,
all
right?
All of a sudden, you're back to 285.
The 1 a.m., you know, little personal pizza is always always a tempting thing.
I said this to Judd yesterday. The greatest appetite, the thing that causes an appetite to explode, alcohol. You know?
Yes, that's very true.
You always,
that's very
what do you want to do? What do you want to do after you drink? You want to eat.
Yeah.
And if you drink late at night, that means you're eating. I always say that my only problem weight-wise as a baseball writer was I had breakfast at noon, lunch at 5, and dinner at 2 a.m. That was not a good formula for keeping it off.
Well, that's why if you ever go downtown, and I can speak on my times of going out downtown and enjoying a few cocktails and a few beers, that you always look around downtown and the pizza joints are always open at 1:30 in the morning because everybody wants
that's why Pizza Lucci doesn't close at 10 p.m. I'll tell you. And all those other places. Well, or the Embers, you know, back in the day, you know, Embers going out of business pretty much saved the Twin Cities an average of 40, the drinking Twin Cities an average of 40 pounds a year, I would think.
Question for you, sir. Did you see our guy, Aaron Hicks, a seven-year extension with the Yankees? He's going to be 37 when that contract ends, Pat.
I know it. I was talking to General Manager Levine today, and I said, did you see the Hicks contract? And he said, yeah, I just saw that. I said, does this mean the Twins officially lost the John Ryan Murphy trade? He says, I think the verdict is pretty well in. He said, yes, on that one. Boy, I'm amazed. I didn't realize he had 27 last year.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And he hit a bunch of left-handed. Who taught him to hit left-handed? Because he was hopeless with the Twins.
Yeah, because wasn't
left-handed. He tried to hit right-handed. He couldn't hit left-handed.
He went exclusively right-handed.
And
I
got to say, I was in the club that said he'll never be able to play because he can't. He's a switch hitter who can't hit left-handed. And I was wrong. Somebody got him. Somebody fixed him. And plus, he's strong. I mean, he was always a nice-sized kid, but have you seen him?
Yeah, he looks big.
He's got muscles on his muscles, yeah.
7-year extension, though. That's only $70 million, though. Only about $10 million a year.
Yeah. Oof. Play a lot of golf for that, man. You know, that was the other thing with the Twins. You thought he liked golf better than baseball. Because he was, he's like a – plus he's a below-par handicapper. He's like a +2. He's a great golfer. Okay, we got to mention Coach Pitino's boys, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get into the dance, sir.
I have tried to be calm this year with Coach Pitino's fans, but he got me when I was reading Marcus's Gamer last night.
Mm-hmm.
That his quote about, you just have to keep it going and try to steal one on the road or something like that. You're going to Northwestern.
Yes.
They are 3-13. They are 2-5 at home, including recent losses at home to Rutgers and Penn State.
Yeah.
You do not have to steal one on the road against Northwestern.
Just go in and win.
All you have to do is show up and actually play. And don't play like you all need an enema for Christ. Come on. You know,
well,
God Almighty.
What gets me, too, is we're seeing a lot of, you know, the Twitter universe is the defenders of him are saying, well, you know, he doesn't have a point guard right now.
He's
not – that's still on him. He has to recruit one.
He got the guy from New York, 4 stars. He got the one. He got his point guard. He was wrong. And You know, that's his. You cannot say the NCAA robbed him on Marcus Carr when you get the guy and there's only a 50-50 chance he's going to be eligible.
Right.
You got to have another plan in case they don't let him be eligible. And, you know, if you watch Isaiah Washington last year and see how terrible he is as a shooter and a decision maker, you got to go get somebody outside of a transfer. You got to go get another point guard. What the hell?
Yeah.
He has no excuses this year. Curry missed a few games, but Curry's been back for the Big Ten, right, basically?
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no – you stop. It's year six. There are no excuses.
One NCAA tournament appearance in 6 years, Pat. Now, we'll see you this year, but it's not very likely.
This year they want to put him in, though, because the bottom half of the – you know, like the last 28 spots, there's nobody to give them to. Everybody – every conference – SEC is pretty good. ACC, you know, they got five. Every conference, like the Big Ten, they got five or six, right, that you can put in.
Yeah.
But the Pac-12 is going to get Washington. You know, I mean, there's.
But they can't, Pat. They can't put if they.
You got
three games left, and if they
you
go one and two.
You got to win. Yeah,
you got to win at least two, and I think you got to win two and maybe a game in the Big Ten tournament, really, to feel confident.
Yeah,
right?
Now, if they beat Purdue. If they beat Purdue and if they beat Northwestern and Purdue, they'll probably get in at 9-11. But if the only win is a home game with Purdue and you end up 8-12, but can we all agree Northwestern is pathetic? Go beat them.
Yeah.
You know, stop. Boy,
I mean, they should have won last night, Pat. It was
Rutgers. Well, didn't they have a 16-0 run? Something like that? Didn't
Something
they
like
score
that,
16
yeah.
straight points? Because Rutgers couldn't make a shot if you locked them in the gym by themselves. And you still managed to choke it away at the end. But here's another reason to fire it to Pitino. The refs all hate him, obviously. They're out to get him. Every year
we get robbed every game.
Every time
they lose a game, it's Big Ten. And look, you and I, we both know Big Ten officiating is spotty here and there.
But
come on.
That foul last night, it wasn't a two-shot foul, but it could have been a one-shot foul. Because he did. He bumped them on, you know, he gave him a good bump. As he was on the drive, so you could have called him for a one. You know, I don't know where they did. They have 10 fouls. I don't know if it would have been a two shot situation.
But there was a question.
There was a foul on it, but I know it wasn't
the
act of shooting foul. It was when he still had the ball. It was fouled on it. But it is. Can you explain to me though why people are so determined to defend this game? Why do they?
My guess is that's
I mean,
as
they
yours.
Giving it. They're giving him so much more leeway than we gave Munson or Tubby.
Yeah.
Why?
Tubby made the tournament three times in 6 years
and won a game in his last year.
And got fired. Now, I mean, if whether or not Tubby should have been fired, I mean that's a whole nother debate. But
he should have been fired if you can hire somebody. You better know that you got a chance to hire somebody that's on your top six before you fire them, right?
Yeah. And the bottom line is we're 6 years into this now, and we've got one NCAA tournament appearance so far.
He deserves to be fired just as much as Munson did, and more so than Tubby did on performance. He's 38 and 69 in Big Ten play.
Oh, my God.
38 and 69 in Big Ten play, and we're debating whether he should stick around or not.
Oh, my gosh.
Or no, they're 7 and 10, right? So 39.
7 and 10.
And 39 and, yes, 39
and. 39
and 69. He was 31 and 59 when this year started. He's lost 10. That makes it 69. He's won 7. He's 38 and 69.
That's
in the Big Ten. I mean, why is this a debate? whether he should stay or not. Why are we arguing about it? And stop making excuses. It's part of the
that's the thing, he had
suspension. So whose fault is that?
That's the other thing, Pat, is when people make excuses for college coaches, they have to remember this is not the pros where you have a coach and then you have a GM who makes a bunch of personnel decisions, and then you kind of look at it and say, well, the GM's done a bad job and the coach is only working with what he's got. In college, the coach is the guy. He is the guy recruiting, he's the guy coaching, he's the guy putting the whole team together. So I don't understand the constant excuses. I'm totally with you on it. And now you got Northwestern, here's the other problem too, Pat. How many times have the Gophers gone into Northwestern, regardless of how good or bad Northwestern is, and completely laid an egg in that building?
You weren't born when the worst of those ever occurred. 1973.
Okay.
We're back. That's the days.
Who would have been coaching then?
Bill Musselman.
Musselman.
That's the days of only the Big Ten champ went to the tournament,
because it was only 32
21 or 22 teams,
okay,
23, you had a certain number of buys and then you had seeded teams, but they'd won in 72, right? They'd won the tournament and then they won one. They never played good in the tournament, got beat in the second round, which is second round back then was the Sweet 16. But the next year they're going to win the Big Ten outright. No, we didn't even have to kick the crap out of Ohio State on the court to we didn't even have to have a riot to win that one. We're gonna win that one that year, and that was a great team, man. B. Hagan, Brewer, Clyde Turner, that was terrific. And they're playing Iowa at home. And if they win their last two, they got Iowa at home, which is good, and then they're at Northwestern, which is terrible. And they are beating Iowa at halftime, and they decide to have the Jim Brewer. Let's honor Jim Brewer, our senior star, at halftime. They have the ceremony at halftime and come out and lay an egg in the second half and get beat by Iowa. And then I think they're still going to tie for the title, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and look. And they go down to Northwestern and get beat. And so they lost their last two. They ended up going to the NIT or something. But that was the worst ever loss at Northwestern because of what the stakes were. But they've had, Tubby's teams, they had no idea what to do with that zone. Munson's team, that goofy Northwestern. What was the guy before Chris Collins? The guy was there, Bill Foster, was it? Bill Foster.
Oh, let's see.
I can't remember who it was. He ran that zone, and our boys thought it was trigonometry.
I have to look it up.
But our boys thought it was trigonometry all the time. Couldn't handle it, but I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, he seems like a decent enough fella, but that isn't a good enough reason to support him. We're paying him $2 million a year. You can't win 38 Big Ten games in six seasons. And
Bill Carmody, is that what you're thinking?
Bill Carmody. Yeah, he had that zone and that kind of that slow-moving offense and stuff, but you can't. Meanwhile, Judd has got to be really depressed, doesn't he?
Because the Wild won a game yesterday, and he won
three in a row. Trading deadline today. Did we trade? Have we traded anybody yet?
I don't know if we've traded anybody else.
How could you break up this team?
They're on fire. They're
on a surge. The Blues came in here all haughty, and our boys beat them. You got to take your shot in hockey. Hell, if you limp into the playoffs, you might win.
Well, Bruce guaranteed they were going to go to the playoffs. So,
I'm not sure.
Jim Fossil guaranteed playoffs for the Giants back in 2000. They went all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yes. I was there for one of the finest sporting events I've ever attended. 41 donut.
41 donut.
I think, in fact, if I ever get a headstone, I'm going to have a remember 41 donut. Never forget.
But Donato gets the game winner yesterday for the boys. How about the kid, huh?
He's his daddy was on that 1989 Harvard team that beat Wooger in the all-time heartbreaker at Civic Center, costing Woogie what would have been his one national championship. His dad, Ted, was a great player. But, yeah, this kid was a star on one of those junior teams, I think, that won the world championship for the U.S. So, yeah, he's a good player. I thought that was a good trade, get rid of that mutt Charlie Coyle. The Niederreiter trade, you got nothing in return. But, this, you know, Charlie, let him go sleepwalk through half his games in Boston. That'll be fine.
they won't be quite as kind to Charlie out there in Boston. Ooh, on the East Coast as
well.
They were here.
Everybody says, well, he's going home. He's a Boston U guy. Yeah, he left it mid-season because the coach hated him. You know, it's not like he's a proud graduate of Boston, of BU or anything. So. Anyway, but I hope they make the playoffs just to irritate
Judd. Timberwolves, sir, they split a couple over the weekend. They beat the Knicks Friday without Cat.
How did they hang in there and score so many points? Have the Bucks now reached a point where you can have that three-quarter indifference like so many great NBA teams do? But they gave up, 110 or some damn thing, didn't they? I mean, they were scoring like crazy against them. I don't know.
Yeah, they're both teams had 100 through three quarters, so it was.
Defense
was a little bit optional that day, but both teams can shoot pretty well.
So. I think the Bucks have the best record in the league, right?
Yeah, they do, and they're trying to hold off. They're trying to hold off Toronto. Toronto's right behind them.
Toronto had bad loss. You see, Orlando kicked the living bejeebers out of them.
Yeah.
Orlando's run like six games in a row. They might end up being in the – I don't even know anyone who ever plays for them, but they've won five or so. I was looking at the standings just when I saw Orlando beat them to see what the record was.
And then, of course, the Wolves beat the Knicks on Friday, and then the Knicks won a home game
last night.
They beat San Antonio. They beat the Spurs.
Oh, Pop.
Yeah, Pop.
Holy.
Yeah, well, the Knicks game had to have been pretty entertaining.
That's victory number 12, right? I think they were 11 and 47 or something when they lost to didn't they lose 20 or 21 in a row, the all-time Knicks franchise record?
Yeah, they had lost I think it was 19 home games in a row before last night. They hadn't won a home game since December 1st.
What's the word on Cat? It sounds like Cat's lucky he's alive.
Concussion protocol he's through right now, so I don't know if he's gonna play tonight against the Kings or not. But that's why he missed the last two games.
It sounds like, I don't like that getting rear-ended by a semi stuff. You know, I'd rather get it rear-ended by a little tiny Volkswagen Bug or something than a semi. It must not have been a crushing blow, else. We would have been looking for a new superstar. But, getting rear-ended by you. That's not good.
All right, a couple of things before we wrap up here.
Oh, we gotta have a positive Pat here eventually.
Yes,
I'm thinking hard.
Now, okay. I was pretty excited about doing this with you today when Mackie told me that I was going to fill in for Judd, because it's in some ways it's like a Ride with Royce reunion.
Sure. Yeah.
And you remember when we did the Ride with Royce at the end of every first hour, we did This Day in History.
Yes.
Well, today, February 25th, sir, I am wearing a shirt that has Muhammad Ali on it. Do you know why? Because
February 25th, wasn't Zaire, was it?
Nope. It was on this day 55 years ago, February 25th, 1964, he knocked out Sonny Liston.
Ooh, yeah.
And this shirt that I'm wearing actually has, and of course, if you're listening,
now,
you can't see
it. Was that the first fight or the second?
This is the first fight, February 25th, 1964, and I have the shirt that I'm wearing is the picture of him standing over Sonny Liston as he knocked him down.
Well, having been around then, in fact, I was listening to it on the radio in the Star Tribune, in the Minneapolis Morning Tribune, as a copy boy. Do you know that most of America was rooting for Sonny Liston, basically a prisoner, a guy with mobbed up guy who would serve jail time instead of Cassius Clay, We were rooting for – I don't think I was. I think I was kind of neutral. But we couldn't stand Cassius Clay because he had brought taunting to American sports.
Oh, you can't
build
have
up that.
That
fight. No, we had none of you. There was no taunting until he came along to sell tickets for that fight with Sonny Liston. A, we were sure Sonny was going to kill this mouthy kid. And B, can you believe a guy saying bad things about his opponent? They didn't even do that. Pro wrestling was the only place where that occurred before Cassius came along. And then, of course, you know, then don't know how much longer later it was that he announced he was changing his name. Wasn't it? Was it like the next day, maybe?
Might have been.
And then we were now, holy cow, what the heck? then we were really nervous about him. But anyone who was around then and looks back and tells you how they were rooting for Muhammad is probably lying. But I'm in retrospect, we were. This made us a much better country when Muhammad won.
Yes, it did. All right, sir. Positive Pat, what do we have?
Positive Pat, well, we have the Wild's relentless march to the playoffs. We got that going for us. We got Timberwolves. How about the revival of Luol Deng?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, he's well been fantastic.
Well rested after a year and a half of not playing.
Yeah.
Not only did Tibbs not play him, what, he play one game the previous year, right?
One game with the Lakers. And
so Tibbs brought him
in here, and Tibbs wouldn't even play him.
No, Tibbs wouldn't. I think Tibbs brought him in telling him, listen, you're not going to play unless somebody gets hurt. So I guess we got that. That is a positive. But I think that, as you said earlier, I think these, when you look at the AL Central and the fact that Cleveland has regressed, the division's probably going to take 84, and this team might be better than we think.
It looked pretty good.
It's up to Buxton and Snow, but if those two guys become players, then you got a pretty good lineup, and you know, it's. Here's the other thing, though: buy a program when you go to the games, because you might have three different pitchers tomorrow than you had today. There's going to be the new modern shuffle of pitchers is very interesting. But yeah, get your tickets now for that March 28th. Be a beautiful sunny day in Minnesota by that. You think the Minnesota River water will be up to the Target Field level after this snow melts? I don't know.
We'll see if it's even flowing. It might still be it might still be frozen. Who knows? All righty, sir.
All right. And we didn't really get Unchained today. I guess we had a very mellow podcast today, but nice talking to you, Manny.
You got it, sir. That's Royce Unchained. Find it on Score North and scorenorth.com.